Yeah. Oh, you're fine. It's very wide, so don't worry about it.
So it'll just look distorted.
Yes. Do you want your name tag on? That's probably good for branding.
I am.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll hide it. Just hide it that way.
So just in case people might not know who you are, please introduce yourselves.
I will go first because I'm elder. I am Tim. Hi, I'm Tim Schaefer. Welcome to Double Fine Productions. We've been around for many years, and our newest game is being led by this man here named...
Lee Petty. Hi. Yes. I've been at Double Fine for... Next month will be 19 years, which is crazy. And Double Fine is 25 years old. So I missed those first critical 6 years where Tim gave out free money. But I came on just after that, right? That's what I was told.
It was more painful than that.
It was ice cream, not money. But
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, hey, there's ice cream sounds just as good a payment, so
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Keeper. We got to talk a little bit at Gamescom, but obviously not too much. However, coming up, I think it's August 17th that it releases, right?
October.
Oh, sorry, October.
Soon.
Yeah.
Oh my God, is it done?
This year has gone by.
8 days. From
you ready?
8 days.
Yeah. Are you
trying
ready?
I'm trying to freak out, Lee. Oh my God, did you remember to finish it?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, I forgot to save that file. Yeah.
Yeah. We're excited. Yeah. October 17th. Lighthouse Day. National Lighthouse Day. Not really. I bet there is one. We should have looked into that.
I bet there is. If not, you guys
It's going to become
yes.
October 17th.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I do have to ask, why a lighthouse? Why a game focusing around a lighthouse? And I mean, I love the bird, but why that specifically?
Why the lighthouse?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of overlapping themes in the game. And one of the ideas of the game is that it's about, you know, on one level, it's about friends coming together to overcome obstacles. But it's also about change and its relationship to meaning. And if you think about the fact that our game is set in a post-human world, some distant time in the future, we have a solitary lighthouse left on the coast. And it doesn't have a function, doesn't have a purpose anymore, right? There's no humans, there's no ships coming. So a lot of the game is also about this lighthouse going on a journey to figure out what its new purpose is. And as to, you know, why a lighthouse specifically, you know, it's one of those things that when you're coming up with a game, you sort of simultaneously imagine cool things a player could do, mechanics, something that would look really neat, something other people haven't done. And a lighthouse was kind of all of those things because, you know, you could instantly think, well, what does a lighthouse do? Well, it can shine its light all around. And then you could sort of think, well, a light could do stuff. What could a light do, right? And so it's just kind of one of those ideas that came from a combination of those ideas. Just yeah, but yeah, trying to explain it is difficult because it's one of those moments you have in your head where it makes perfect sense and everyone else thinks you're crazy. Yeah.
I'll say it was mostly about marketing research. We were like, what are,
yeah.
We're on TikTok, like, what are kids into? Oh. Look at lighthouses, but not the like to kind of just stand there.
Yeah, for a while it was like a unicycle lighthouse, and we're like, no one likes unicycles, so we went with walking.
Skateboarding lighthouse,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You know? Still on the nose, so we were like, just walking. It'd be more old, broader age appeal.
Yeah. It's so interesting seeing the demo at Gamescom. It kind of felt this feeling of connection that I felt back in COVID days when we were connecting with people over the internet through like Animal Crossing and different experiences, and it felt like one unified experience that we could probably connect on, at least with the people that I saw the demo with. Was that the kind of goal with Keeper, trying to bring people together for one central experience and maybe their takeaway is something different, but it still means something deeper to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting you say that because that was, you know, the origin of the idea did come from the pandemic times. And it, for me, I've always been kind of interested in backpacking and hiking and being outdoors. And that was one of the few things I could still kind of do during the pandemic, during the lockdown. And I think I spent a lot of time out there thinking and about nature, about like where we're going as humans and what would be like left or what would all this life become in the distant future. And that's where the sort of the idea of connection and how meaningful that is to us and perhaps all life came from. And so that relationship that's expressed in the game through the relationship between the bird, Twig, and the lighthouse. And they're exploring kind of unknown territories together as the player is. So yeah, those are absolutely where we're going with those themes.
So I do love that there are lots of puzzles. Are any puzzles going to be too hard? Because I can be kind of dumb when it comes to puzzle solving.
Even I could solve all the puzzles.
I mean, yeah, that's how we tested them. We're like, can Tim do it?
Tim can do it. Yeah, is it too easy if Tim can do it? No.
Yeah. And the puzzles in this game are, you know, unlike, say, some games that are puzzle first. We like to call this game like an adventure puzzle game because we're not an action game. There's no death, there's no shooting, there's no combat. And so interacting with puzzles is a way of interacting with the characters and the world. All the puzzles are kind of, they're not intended to be too hard. You do have to think a bit, or you do have to experiment a bit, but that's kind of one of the cool things about the game, because we don't have any words in the game. It's, you almost kind of stumble into the puzzle areas, and you find yourself solving them, and then it kind of dawns on you partway through what it's kind of about and what you need to do to finish it. And not hard at all, but still rewarding in a way of like you're solving a mystery, or you have this sort of aha moment, but it's not about like a hard logic or math puzzle. It's just about like the context becomes more apparent to you.
You did at the last minute cut all the math puzzles.
Yeah, where like algebra's okay. We didn't go calculus, but yeah.
But yeah, you always do feel like engaged, but never stuck, I would say.
It's so interesting because I feel like a lot of gamers recently, they're like, oh my God, get rid of the yellow tape or yellow paint and all that. But it's like, if you don't have that, you're not going to know what to do. So how do you balance that in a game where there's no dialogue? I mean, you want people to stumble upon these puzzles and figure out the solution themselves. How do you balance that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because a lot of things in the game design fall out from this idea. If you say, okay, we're not going to have any words in the game, and we're not really going to have any text telling you what to do, then you make a lot of different choices. So some of those choices we made, for example, are the fact that you can't die. There's no resetting, there's no fail state, so you can't ever mess things up where you have to restart the game. And part of the reason we did that is because there aren't words. So we didn't want to make it too hard or feel like you're missing something, but we also wanted to invite players to just embrace the weirdness and the mystery, knowing that like you just can't mess it up. So take some time, enjoy the beauty, have your own interpretation about what's going on, and experiment and explore a little bit. That is exactly how we were thinking about it with, if you're not going to have text, how do they know what to do? You know, so a lot of our animators are amazing here, and we do a lot of storytelling through just animation and just motion and just the positioning of the camera and the way those characters interact. And that's usually enough to get people moving in the right direction.
I didn't notice it in the demo at first, but the eyebrows on the lighthouse, it's very cute. It's very human, but you know it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. I think I talked to you about this at Gamescom too, about how it's interesting that you're able to give emotions to this thing that you're not used to seeing have anything other than, you know, standing still. So how difficult was it giving life to a lighthouse? And, you know, like little moments like when it gets scared, you know, you see it like shake a little bit, you know, maybe little crumbs of brick fall off and stuff. Like, how difficult was it to add all those little details to it?
Yeah, can I just say first, before you answer, is that I was surprised by how, like, all of these games they're all very strong art style, but they all do have words in them. Right, correct.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the first without any words yet. I would say it has the most emotional content of all of them. Like it's the most, and it's always super clear what's going on in the story, and super clear what's going on emotionally with the characters, even though none of them speak and they don't have like they can't smile, but you can kind of Anyway.
Yeah.
Was that hard?
Yeah.
It was easy for me.
He's
just watched from the sides.
Yeah, I mean, no, it is true, because Double Fine is known for writing, and I do love writing and dialogue, and Tim and I often talk about that. But I think in this game it was just it was kind of almost about being quiet in a way. Like I kind of had that like a sense in the pandemic. It felt like the world was operating in a different wavelength for a while, you know. And there was a certain sort of quietness to it, and it felt like the right choice. But in terms of how to make people care about a lighthouse, you know, that is one of the things that like I talked to our animators early on. I was like, we're not gonna have words. So your job is to make people care about it in that piece of concrete. And so there's some subtle character design things, like you saw the eyebrows. We sort of have the metal framing that surrounds the lens in the lighthouse. There's a few pieces that are broken out that it can articulate with. But we also kind of fractured the lighthouse in a few places so it can kind of bend and move in a more organic way. And there's a lot of little touches like that we try to do. And I think, though, really it's about the bird, about Twig. And Twig is I think, there as a more understandable character to kind of carry a lot of the emotion of the game. So even though the lighthouse can't talk, you must feel more sorry for it that it doesn't have arms, that it can't emote as much as Twig can. But you can see how Twig is reacting to the lighthouse at all times, and you understand, I think, a little easier what Twig is saying. So I think it's the pairing that works. I think if it was only just the lighthouse, you wouldn't have that. You wouldn't be able to read it as much.
Yeah. Would you guys say that you have a pretty similar pairing? Like you guys understand each other even without talking?
Are you more lighthouse?
Yeah, or the I think I'm a little taller, Ben.
He's a little taller.
Have a few more feathers.
He definitely creaks more when he walks.
So
you're like the lighthouse.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been known to perch on your shoulder.
Yeah.
So I'm probably the bird.
And intense emotional bonding.
Yeah.
For you, what was it like seeing this project come together from, you know, ideas back in, I think, 2020, right? So is that when this idea was born?
Yeah, kind of evolved.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, you know, when we start new projects at Double Fine, we're always trying to do something different for us as well as the studio and the world at large. So we often prototype different ideas. And we had a very different sort of game we were prototyping for a while, but I'd initially written a mission with a lighthouse in it. And it wasn't the main star of the show. And it was about a lighthouse that had wandered into a farmer's field and gotten lost. And so it was already walking. I don't think I ever explained why it was walking. And so you were supposed to like shepherd this thing back to the coast, you know? And I think that idea of a lighthouse being lost stuck with me. And over time, as we developed the idea, I was like, you know, it should really be all about this lost lighthouse, this thing that history has passed by, doesn't have a purpose, and like how it has to redefine itself and where it finds meaning in this adventure.
Yeah, because these led so many games here. It's, you know, you can, what I learned back ever since my time at LucasArts was that I noticed they didn't make bets on ideas, they just made bets on people. And, you know, Lee's done so many creative things that you just kind of like, I can't wait to see what you do next. And even though at first it starts off, you know, it takes some guts, I think, to like be like in that unknown space where you have no idea what your next game is. It's terrifying.
And yeah, it is.
And that's fun to watch from a safe place. No, but I mean, because you know the first, you know, everyone's, you're doing stacking and you had an earlier version of stacking and I was kind of like, this is good, but I know that next time you come back to me, it'll be an even better idea because it'll be, you just have to like, some people say wander the desert to see the elephant. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that means.
Oh my God,
but you wander the desert to see the lighthouse. It's a kind of a weird process where you're...
it's like hallucinating when you're nearly dying from thirst.
Exactly.
Is that the,
I think it's like being in the ocean and like each idea is like a little plank of wood and you gradually like build this little creative raft to hang onto and then a lighthouse appears.
Yeah. That's such a great way to put it. Like honestly. How would you describe a writer's block then?
Right.
Yeah.
Is that like
writer's block?
Trying to eat cactus fruit in the desert? Is there you're gonna keep that stuck in your throat?
It's that inability to like move forward at all because mm-hmm. you're so overthinking it or so nervous and not willing mm-hmm. to like try different things. So when Lee was coming up with their ideas, what about this game? About like you know, just trying not being afraid of ideas that seem stupid or that you know are wrong. You just kind of have to move them mm-hmm. through because it's kind of like this like. Standing, I think David Lynch is the one who writes about it's like you're sitting in a chair by a river and just watching all these ideas go by and grabbing mm-hmm. the ones you want, you know, and you just got to keep it moving. Because if you're staring at a static pond, like there's no more ideas are going to come.
Sometimes people say, you know, you have to trust the process. And it's one of those things that it kind of makes sense, but you just like, but you, it never feels right. But even though it does, like you're like, just trust the process. So, you know, we're making this game. You know, it's sometimes you want the game to continue to evolve as you're making it. At least I think so, right? Because then you're responding to what everyone else in the team brings to it. You're seeing what works better. And you're not just rigidly defining it right at the front. We're making only this game. But that takes a certain level of, like, being comfortable with being uncomfortable, you know, where you're just like, okay, trust the process because I know it'll wind up in a good place because I work with all these talented people. But you just feel uneasy for so long. And you just learn that's part of the creative process. And you do have to trust it and hope it works out.
Yeah. If you know exactly where something's going to end up, it's more of a craft. It's not really art in a way. Like you have to be open to complete failure and just be open to this thing. This game starts talking to you and takes you where it wants to go after a while.
Do you feel like that you knew where you wanted the lighthouse to end up at? Because you said you loved the idea of this lighthouse being lost. So did you start the project knowing where the lighthouse was going to end?
No, I don't think I did. I mean, I knew parts of it, right? Like early on, I had kind of an outline for the whole experience, and that outline is still in the final experience. But I think the emphasis, you know, it's like, you know, if you're gonna paint a painting, you're like, well, you probably have a set palette you're using, set number of colors, but like how you're applying those colors and how much of those colors, that changes drastically as the painting starts to emerge and as you look at it. And I think that's the case here. So I knew I wanted it to be about a lighthouse. And initially, for example, like we had the bird was in it, but we had this idea that, like, oh, we're going to change out a ton of different companions. Mm-hmm. And I realized pretty early on that in order for people to connect to this strange experience, they needed to have a strong emotional foundation. And that foundation was going to be the bird in the lighthouse, and they needed to stay together. And so even though the game, I was excited by some of the mechanics possibilities of switching them out, I was like, I don't think that's going to serve the overall game's vibe. And so we kind of moved away from that. And I'm really glad we did, because a lot of people really respond to the bird and its presence in the game.
You weren't going
to
kill it, were you? Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, it was more about, like, helping, like the lighthouse might help the bird achieve its goals, and they get a different set of companions and stuff. But I realized, like, they needed to go on that journey together. They needed to help and be there for each other. And they each have their own arcs, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but they each have their own kind of arcs that evolve over the course of the game. But that was, like, one of those things that, like, on paper, you're like, well, why wouldn't you want more companions? It's more different things. And you're like, well, but the emotion, and the game is very emotional, I think, you know, and it was much better served by keeping Twig the bird around for the game, yeah.
Okay, I did get the vibe that it's going to be very emotional. I will probably cry, because, again, I connected it to, like, the pandemic times for some mm-hmm, reason. Mm-hmm. Do you expect people to cry? Do you want people to cry?
I feel like it's a compliment because you know, in a way, one of the biggest goals in art is to evoke something meaningful for people experiencing it, right? You know, and I feel like if we do that, and even if it's not what I initially 100% intended, I'm still just, if anyone can connect to the works that we make, that's the biggest thing that I take away. That's what I hope for, right? And I think, you know, we've tried to create an experience that has closure, has an arc, but is still open to interpretation. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how people bring their own experiences to it, and where what they think it's about, or what parts they find more meaningful. So I hope you cry, I guess. Is that a weird thing to say?
No, yeah. It's also funny.
There's some funny stuff in it too, yeah.
I think the first little creature that you have to move out of the way to, like, roll his fat body around is very cute. And I was like, okay. It's weird that you immediately get the vibe. You know exactly what it's going to be. The last thing that I want to talk about is the art style, I guess, because it is such a strange universe, such a strange experience. Mm-hmm. Some of the plants remind me of, like, Whoville's, like, you know, fluffy plants mm-hmm, and stuff. Mm-hmm. So did you want to keep it more in that fantastical element?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were, you know, and I think the game, the total experience is very... has a lot of contrast in it. So we've got some moments that are very kind of lighthearted and like running through a meadow with a friend. And then we have other ones which is almost like falling into a pit of self-doubt for a while. And so we, you know, it's definitely not cozy in that sense, right? It's not a violent game. You can play it at your own pace. We call it weird but chill. And that's our way of saying that, like, there's a lot of unexpected things around the corner. It's a little stranger than you're used to, but you can still play it at your own pace, and you can't fail the experience. And so we wanted the art style to be able to reflect that. And so we chose an art style that was very dramatic, that had a lot of heavy use of color and atmosphere and lighting. And there are times where, you know, having those dark moments and then open to something just really saturated and beautiful. And so that I turned to painters for the inspiration. So, you know, I originally went to school for painting, and I really love surrealism. And so we kind of keyed off that. And so when you talk about Whoville, you know, Dr. Seuss was actually very inspired by surrealist art as well. And so there's some common, you know, DNA in all of those references. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's the fluffy clouds level. Mm-hmm. I love that a lot. I was just like, I want to live there. I want to lay in that.
Yeah. That one is just like the most pink you could put into a level. I really enjoyed working on that level. And you know, it's bordered by darker stuff. And so when you play the intent there was to just really like that, you know, when maybe you've been holed up in your house or you've been dealing with some heavy stuff and you get that moment to like take in some fresh air and spend some time with friends maybe you've missed. That was kind of what we were going for in that segment. So
I feel like this game is coming at a very important time right now. A lot of people need something to kind of calm down with, I think. There's so much happening, and I feel like a lot of people need this experience they can go through that's not overly long, but it's also, I don't know, it feels like that pandemic feeling where you're just like, oh yeah, this means something different to me, but I can still talk to you about it and we can connect.
Yeah.
So what is the biggest thing that you want players to get out of this experience?
What do you think, Tim?
What people get out of this experience, but after we made them cry.
Yeah, after we made them cry.
And laugh mm-hmm. and visit their local lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it'd be neat if it like incited conversation and discussion a bit, you know, and not just in terms of playing experience. And, you know, we sort of talk about it sometimes as like a palate cleanser, because we didn't want to create a game that was like a huge commitment. We wanted something you could play in a session or two. And then, you know, like, I think it's going to stick with players a little bit, and they might come back to it and play it, or maybe they want to show it to a friend, or maybe they just want to talk to someone else online. They're like, what were you feeling when you played this section? Because I kind of got this vibe. What do you get? And I think that's really, like, some of my favorite moments with friends are, like, going and seeing a weird film and then discussing it afterwards, or, you know, going to an art show, or like, oh, remember that time you saw the Ramones in the 90s? Like, just, like, those moments are really cool moments to connect with other people about. And so that's what I'm hoping, you know.
I hope you have that feeling of just the joy of being utterly confused and not knowing what's coming next. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I love going into the state where, like, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, because when you're playing this game, I knew some of the things were going to happen. But we've been, you know, keeping a lot, you know, close to our chest and stuff, because there's points in the game where I think you'll be going, what? What's that? Oh my gosh, like, that was not expected. And that's not, you know, that's not a state of being confused in a negative way. That's in a state of being like really just open-minded to like the experience and becoming kind of a blank slate yourself for like this game to just kind of wash over you.
As adults, we need our sense of wonder and whimsy back, right? And
I feel like that's a great way of saying it. Yeah.
Grabs us back, right? It's like, oh yeah, why not this round little bird thing that gets in the way, or like, why not this thing that needs me to put its gem eyeball back in its tree face?
You know? Yeah, stuff like that. Exactly. Yeah. That's what the world needs.
So I'm very excited. October 17th.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Welcome.
It's very soon, and I won't spoil anything, but I will say, as much as you're gonna see, and other people are going to see, there is a lot more that this game is about that no one has any idea, because we've been holding back. So
I'm so excited.
RTS yeah. Elements.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for talking. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Playing.